want to take out your Bibles, we'll be reading today Psalm chapter 34. It's the 34th Psalm. You can find it in your pew Bible starting on page 463. So I'll give you a moment to turn there with me. I think you'll find it's a pretty familiar psalm. Psalm 34, beginning in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. This is God's holy and inerrant word for us this morning. You've no doubt had at times the experience where you taste something and it's so good that you want to invite other people over to enjoy it. Right? You take a bite and you're just like, it's so good. Right? Get over here. You guys, you have to try this. Try this. Oh, you're going to love it. That's what is going on here. That's actually what the psalmist is doing. David has written this in a situation where he was in great distress. And he called out to the Lord, and the Lord answered him and delivered him from that experience. And so he's experienced what God does for those that he loves. He's seen what the greatest good in life looks like. And now he's telling everybody to come and join him, to come take part in that, to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. So God answers the prayer of those who are distressed. And because he does that, we praise him, and also we're calling others to join us, and if they are distressed, to join in, to pray to God, and then join us in prayer, or join us in praise, and then there's this repetition of that process. We pray to God in distress, we praise Him for answering us, and we call others to do the same. And that praise just grows. This is what it means, really, to taste and see that the Lord is good and to call others to do that. It starts all with this exclamation of praise in verse 1 to 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Is this what your praise looks like? Is this what our praise looks like? Right? Did you hear all of that? I will bless the Lord at all times. So all the time. Every time, I'm always giving glory to God. It's overflowing out of me and I can't stop it. Right? Does that sound like you? This is what This is what the psalm is calling us to. To be just overflowing with that sense of what God has done. If you're a Christian, this is really what we do. I mean, this is what our lives are all about. Always on my mouth, he says, are the praises of God. He boasts in the Lord. Do you boast in the Lord? You don't come to Christ so that you can boast about you. You don't come to Christ to say, look at me, I did it, I made it, I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm greater, I'm better. No, the spirit of pride is anathema to the Christian life. You come to Christ to boast in Him, what He's done for you. There will be plenty of people in hell that think that they're better than others. There will be plenty of people in hell that think that they're better than what Christ has to offer. That think that they're above the shame of the world that it takes when you take up your cross and follow Him. But to those who are humble, who know they're sinners, who know they're in need of healing, come and boast in the Lord. Right? If you recognize that there's nothing in you to boast about, if you recognize that there's really nothing ultimately that you can claim for yourself, well, great. Now come boast in Him. Come boast in the Lord who has saved you. Magnify the Lord with me, he says. Let us exalt Him together. Right? Let's make His name bigger. Not that we add to Him in some way, not that we add to His name in some way, but so that we join in the rest of creation, shouting it out, right? Making it as loud as possible, making sure everybody hears. We're lifting up His name so that His majesty would fill the earth, right? His praise would fill the earth. In your prayers and singing and praise and in your life, magnify Him. And why do we do this? Right? Why is it that we're called to magnify the Lord? Because God is a God who hears us when we call out to Him. And in your distress, and in your suffering, and in the midst of the hostility of the world, and in the midst of loneliness, and in the middle of the storm of devastating loss, He hears you. He listens and hears you. He will deliver you. He will save you. So pray to Him. Cry out to Him. Call to Him. Call on Him for help, and He will help. This is why we magnify Him, because we know this is true. The psalmist explains his experience, which really is our experience. It's what the psalms are all about. Again, we keep saying this, but this was written at a particular time, right, by David for a particular purpose, but he wrote it in such a way to not mention those things so that we're all drawn into it, right? So that you can put your own life, your own story into this and recognize that this is exactly what God has done for you if you have come to Him in Christ. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Seek and you will find. Call out and the Lord will answer. Are you afraid right now? Seek the Lord. Do you have fears? Seek the Lord in the midst of it. Are you in need of deliverance? You don't have to try to go through that on your own. Call out to Him for help, and He will hear. He hears that cry. He hears that prayer every time. And isn't this our testimony? Why we're here? Because we know God. Because He, like a gracious Father, has smiled upon us. He has shown His face upon us, and in turn, we're radiant. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, after meeting with God, we're told that His face shone. And the people were frightened by it. They were frightened by the radiance of the glory of God. But we've come to God through a greater Moses and have been given the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when you turn to the Lord, we're told that the veil that Moses had to cover that glory, that radiance with, it's been removed. And you, beholding the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Right? He smiles upon you and you smile back. Right? There's this radiance, this reflection of His glory. Your face is never ashamed because your Father in heaven approves of you. You are His child. This is what it means to look on the Lord, to see the Lord, to really see Him. If you've called on the Lord, then you have seen Him and how He saves. It says at the beginning of verse 4 that He delivered me from all my fears. And then it says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord. So there's still fear, right? How does that work? Well, it's because the fear of the Lord is what casts out all other fears. Right? To fear the Lord is to not fear anything else. All that matters in that case is Christ. He must increase, I must decrease. You give up all for the sake of the gospel and the sake of His name. And then the idea is that, well, then nothing can stop you, right? If God is everything to you, then ultimately nothing else can make you afraid. Nothing else will be able to stop you. You can stand like Christ, right? Resolute in the midst of any kind of suffering, persecution, knowing that ultimately His will, not mine, be done. Death can't stop you if it didn't stop Him. The devil has no power over you, not anymore, right? Christ rose from the dead, triumphing over the powers and principalities and rulers of this dark age. He's openly mocked them and put them to shame. You don't have to be ashamed anymore. The voice of doubt in your head, that's not in control, right? It is God who has chosen you, shown His face upon you. That accusation against you does not stand. You don't fear men because you only fear Him, right? The fear of God casts out the fear of man. And seeking Him, you have found. In coming to Him, willing to accept what He gives, good or ill, what you will find is that He does give deliverance. He does help. He listens. And there's this picture here of this. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps around. Right? He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is with you and walks with you and stands with you, He will protect you. This is important to remember. Because when distress does come, when you are put into those situations, when wicked people rise up against you and speak ill of you and attack your character, demean you or seek harm to you, He is stronger. He is. He encamps around you. You don't have to fear. The angelic hosts beyond number are at His command, working for you and your protection if you fear Him. Right? There are more with you, even if it seems like you stand alone. And so here we see some of these glorious truths of the faith, our inheritance. Right? Here is why we praise the Lord who has delivered us. And we could go on. We could go into far more depth about all these things we just touched on. There's so much more. Right? This is just scratching the surface. But it's important to note that when we're praising God for all of these things, for what He has done, for what we've seen and been a part of, we're also, in part, calling others to join in with that. Calling those who are still in distress to come and call upon the Lord because He delivers. Calling on them to pray just as we have prayed, just as we have found deliverance in the Lord, calling on others to do the same, to join in this song of salvation. Maybe you're here today and you need deliverance. You feel the weight of sin and guilt. You feel ashamed still. You can't say that you're unashamed. Maybe you feel like the world is against you. It's too much. You don't know what to do. then hear the word of the Lord. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. O taste and see. Right, get over here. You have to try this. Right, come and enjoy this just as I'm enjoying it. You won't be disappointed. Now, there is a kind of leap of faith element here. Right? If you haven't known this God, then to come and taste is not something that you can do from a distance, right? From the outside. You actually have to come in. You actually have to come and stand before Him. And you have to ask Him for help. You've seen here that God delivers those who seek Him, but seeking is not something that you can do kind of, right? Like a little bit. You have to be all in. And when I speak here and we say that God will hear you when you cry out to Him, what we mean is that if you approach Him, humble of heart, like it says, right? Those who are humble, those who actually call out to Him. To call out to Him does not mean you're just looking for a kind of get-out-of-jail-free card. Well, I exhausted all my other options, and I'll just try this quick, and if it works, great. If not, whatever. I'll move on to something else. Right? It's not as if you can just call on the Lord and say, well, that was great, He helped me. All right, now back to my life as it was. That's not how this works. That's not what the psalmist is talking about. That's not calling out to the Lord in your distress. No, this is going to take everything. Right? To taste the Lord is to have faith. To trust Him and say that you are His no matter what else happens. No matter what He decides to give you. Right? You don't get to come to God with some of the cards. You don't get to come to God and say, well, I'm in control of this part of this relationship. That's not how this works. Right? You have to call out for help in your distress, knowing that it's all up to Him, what He decides to do, and being okay with that. He demands everything. But if you do that, if you do call out to the Lord in that way, if you actually try it, you will see Him. You will find true blessing. Right? Who doesn't want blessing? Who doesn't want to be blessed? This is where you find it. In coming to the Lord of all the earth, in looking at Him in all of His terrifying glory. His glory, that's like fire, right? It burns. But if you come to Him in Christ, it is a purifying fire. And it, in the end, brings blessing. So the call is to seek Him, right? Taste and see. Fear the Lord. And if you have tasted and seen the Lord, if you've seen His goodness, if you've experienced His goodness, don't forget it. Right? Don't forget His goodness. Press on, right? Continue to walk in His ways. Don't find the next trial and fear again. Don't stare down the fiery furnace before you and fear it. Instead, fear the One who has promised to walk with you through it. The young lions here are this picture of the adversaries, the enemy, those who are standing against you. And young lions are particularly good at hunting, and yet they're in want here. Right? They don't have everything that they need or want. But what about you? But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Right? The predators end up in want, but not you. Those who seek the Lord lack nothing. They don't lack anything. When we're magnifying God, this is what we're calling people to come and experience. To come and experience the God that we know. I've been thinking a lot over the past few weeks about the story of the woman at the well. And she comes out at noon to draw water when no one else would be there because she doesn't want to be around anyone else because she's ashamed of the way that she's living. And she comes and Jesus is there and Jesus just tells her how she's living. He tells her what is sinful in her life. And yet, after speaking with him and after hearing about this living water that he can give and after hearing about him being the Messiah, it says that she goes back into the town and she goes and tries to find everybody and tells them, come and meet the man who told me everything I ever did. Everything she ever did was something that she didn't want anybody to know. And now she's saying, come and see, right? Come, taste and see. You have to try this. You have to see what this is all about. This is what we're doing. This is what the life of the church is. This is what the Christian life is. Right? It's no more being ashamed. Yeah, I know I did all of these horrible things. I know that I'm a sinner. And guess what? Right? I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by what Christ has done. I have no want. And maybe you even hear this, and you're a little bit afraid to tell somebody, in the words of the psalmist, cry out to God and he will help you. Right? To have that kind of, you know it, you're positive. Well, what if he doesn't? Well, you know that he does. Don't you? You know that he always does. He always comes through to those who are truly crying out to him in that kind of humility. This is the mission of the church, to praise the Lord, and as we do so, to call others to join us, to again come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Now for us, a lot of times I think this psalm can feel a little bit disjointed, like it jumps around a little bit, just because we're not used to maybe poetry in general, but especially the Hebrew poetry. We're not looking at it in the Hebrew. And like many other psalms, and some we've already covered, this psalm is an acrostic, and it just follows the Hebrew alphabet, except for a couple letters which point particular aspects of the psalm out. And so each line starts with a new letter of the alphabet, but it's all doing the same thing. It's all calling out this praise in us, calling us to praise him and call others to do so. And so it moves to talk about what exactly the fear of the Lord is. Right, if we're supposed to fear him and then have no lack, what exactly is that? Verse 11, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This is just like a lot of the other wisdom literature that we read, isn't it? Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So how do you fear him? How do you have a long life and a lot of good in it? Right? Don't you want that? Sounds great. Right? How do you have that? Well, it says, don't lie. Right? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And liars are children of the devil, the great and first liar. Don't lie to God. Don't lie to God and refuse to cry out to him because you think, I'm doing okay. No, cry out to him for help. Don't boast in yourself. That's a kind of lie. Boast in the Lord. Seek the truth instead of lies. And what is the truth? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is to be feared. He is the foundation of all truth. And in him, you will find true blessing and salvation. To seek the Lord is going to require that you turn away from evil. You can't serve two masters. This is what repentance is. You can't follow Jesus and your own appetites. Your desires have to become subsidiary to his. Again, this is what crying out entails. When you're in your distress, when you cry out to him for help, it means you understand that he's in control and he gets to decide what he does. He gets to decide how he answers that prayer. When you do that, right, when you seek him in this way, when you see his goodness, then you can actually do what St. Augustine says, which is love God and do whatever you want. Right? When you submit your desires and everything that you want to Christ, it doesn't mean that there's no life that is given. It doesn't mean that there's no blessing that is given. No, this is actually where you find all blessing. This is where you get it all. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. You see this sharp dichotomy that comes up in most of the wisdom literature in the Bible. Right? There's good or evil. There's wisdom or folly. There's life or death. There's the fear of God, or there's the fear of everything else. For those who have sought the Lord and thus received by Him in Christ, are received by Him in Christ, it says you're righteous. Right? And He looks upon the righteous. You don't have to become righteous. You already are. He looks upon those who are righteous. You've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. The Lord's face, it says, is turned toward you. You see that, right? His ear listens. Right? His eyes see. He's looking at you. If we go back, you have this same idea. He's smiling upon you. He's shining toward you. Those who rebel against God, it's not so. But if you reject Him, if you refuse this God, it says your face is against, His face is against you. Again, this sharp dichotomy. He's looking upon you, smiling upon you, hears you, sees you, or His face is against you. It's still toward you in a sense, but it's against, not for. Those who rebel against God will come to an end. We're told they won't be remembered. They won't last. It's because God is life. And Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. He is life itself, the tree of life. He is what gives life. Anything that is not in Him, it will not be remembered. It will not last. We remember Noah, righteous Noah, who had the favor of God upon him. We don't remember those who perished in the flood. They've been cut off from memory. But if you are crushed and broken, what does it say? If you feel at your end, if you recognize that you can't make it on your own, He will hear and save you. He will be near to you. You don't hear the strong words of Scripture to those who reject Christ and say, well, then I guess there's no hope for me. No, the whole point is that there is hope. Right? The whole point is that you would humble yourself. Right? That you would call out to Him for help. That you would ask Him to help you. That you would seek Him in your distress. Not harden yourself more in your distress. If you seek Him, if you come and taste and see, you'll find that He is good. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of His servants. None of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. Affliction will come to you. You will be afflicted at times. Christ Himself was. The question is how you make it through that affliction. Affliction will not defeat those who are in Christ. Again, because He has already defeated it. Because He stood in the midst of it. It doesn't win in the end. There's hope for you, no matter how hard your circumstances, no matter how hard the affliction, there's still hope in the end. Affliction will be the end of the wicked, both that it can end them, but also that that's all that there is going to be in the end. All there will be is affliction. Any grace and glory that is here and now will be taken away. It will be rejected. To reject Christ is to reject all of that. when there's no hope, then suffering becomes meaningless. It becomes all but impossible to get through. If that's the sum total of your life, it will end you. But if your life is hidden in Jesus Christ, then the affliction is momentary, and you know that. It will not last. And you know that when it happens, and you call out to God, He listens, and He hears you. When Jesus hung on the cross, we're told that none of His bones were broken. And the Apostle John says in his Gospel that this was done to fulfill the words of Scripture. And he doesn't quote what Scripture he's referring to. Now, the Passover lamb, none of the bones in the lamb were to be broken. And so this is at least likely part of it. But we could also have some of that here. Right? You have this idea that the bones of the righteous will not be broken. In other words, just like Jesus faced extreme trial and suffering, but He came through it whole, so too is the promise of God for all of His people, for all of you who are in Christ. Not that there won't be suffering, but that He will bring you through it. This is why we magnify God. This is why we should continue to do so. This is why we're called, bless the Lord, magnify Him. He hears you when you call. His face is toward you. He is defending and protecting you, encamped around you. He walks with you through the midst of suffering and pain. He's saved you. He's redeemed you. You are not condemned. Yes, you might face momentary affliction, but what you have is you have tasted and seen the goodness of God in Christ Jesus is eternal. The affliction is temporary. What you have in Him is eternal. It's unending grace and glory. So let's praise Him. And if you don't know that joy today, if you don't have that faith, that confidence, if you don't know that truth, if you don't know this glory, if you don't have the hope that carries you through affliction and trial, if you're ashamed and crushed in spirit and brokenhearted, then come and learn the fear of the Lord. Come and magnify Him with us. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Let's pray. Father God, would You use these words now and help to draw us into the unending praise that is already and even now taking place around Your throne. Would You help us to call out to You if we are in distress, if we are in need? Help us to humble ourselves, to not lose hope, but to look to You for it. Lord, we pray that You would help us even now and throughout our days to radiate Your glory. As we have seen You, that we would reflect the glory of Your name. And that in that You would help us as a church and as individuals to draw others into this praise, to call on others to cry to You for help. We pray that You would strengthen our hands that we might be able to do this, all in Jesus' name. Amen.